love for us. You first loved us before we chose to love you. Thank you this morning, because we know that your love abides forever. And as we have come unto you once again, we pray that in your love you speak unto us the word of guidance, the word of deliverance, the word of comfort, the word that will make our life to be whole and complete in you. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name we are praying. Let us put hands together for the Lord. I want to say happy new month. This is the first Sunday of the month of February, the year 2022. The year has started running again. January is gone. We have entered into the second month. So nobody should be joking again. We should go to the real business for the year. And today, I am starting a series which will run for the rest of this month, apart from the Faith Clinic Sunday. This series will run for this month of February. So I'm going to start the introduction today. And what am I speaking about by the leading of the Lord? I am speaking on what I call coming out of anonymity. Coming out of anonymity. Can someone remind me again what am I talking about? And I'm going to take it both in the spiritual and the secular dimensions. But I will start from the spiritual, and we are going to go into the application to our daily lives. And I'm going to take my text starting from book of Isaiah chapter 45. And we are going to read from verse 2 to 5. Isaiah chapter 45, from verse 2 to 5. Now, says, I will go before you and make the crooked places straight. I will break in pieces the gate of brass and cut in asunder the bars of iron. What a great promise. What a great assurance that God is saying to you and saying to me and saying to us that he will go before us to make the crooked way straight and to break asunder the bars of iron, to open the gate of brass. Then verse 3, and I will give you the treasures of darkness and the hidden riches of secret places, that, listen, you may know that I, the Lord, this is where I'm going, we call you by your name. I am God of Israel. That you may know that I, the Lord, I call you by your name. God recognizes you as an individual. God has a customized deal for you. God deals with you as a person. We have over 7 billion people in the world today. That's the crowd. But God does not just deal with the crowd. He deals with you as an individual. And therefore, God wants to bring you out of the crowd and deal with you as a person. We have so many hundreds of people in the church today. But God does not just want to speak to the hundreds of people who are listening to me sitting or those who are online. God wants to speak to somebody. God said, I call you by your name. You see, when God created things after creation, one of the first assignments he did was to begin to name them. Did you read that one in your Bible? He started giving them names, calling them one by one. God abhors anonymity. God wants to know you as a person. He wants you to know him as an individual. Don't just say there's God in Cedar. God wants to be in you. God doesn't say God is in the Bible. God wants to be in your heart. He wants to call you by your name. It's just like when you are going in the marketplace and there are so many hairs, sea of air, and somebody mentions your name, you will turn around. Won't you do that? Because you are not just in the market, you are singled out. Let me tell you, all of us were the marketplace of the world. But in the marketplace of the world, God wants us to come out as individual. Come out, step out of the crowd. Let me tell you something. When you are just part of the crowd, you are missing a lot. You are not fulfilling the purpose of God. Because to be in the crowd is to be anonymous. When you are anonymous, you are irrelevant. Even in the world, nobody bothers about. Now tell me, where is the address of the masses? Have you been reading about the masses in the papers? Have you heard about masses in the news? If you have never heard of masses before, wave your hand. If you have people discussing politically or reading it and they talk about masses, raise up your hand. You've heard the word masses, the masses of people. Raise your hand. Now tell me, where is the address of the masses? Masses is Mr. No address. God said, I call you by your whole name. He calls me Hayobami Salami. When you are anonymous, you are inconsequential, you are irrelevant, you are of base value. You know what's called a base value? Those in mathematics know the base value. We are just at the rock bottom. You cannot be missed. You are unknown quantity. You are inconsequential. You will not be inconsequential. Amen. You will not be of base value. Amen. You will not be irrelevant. Amen. You will not be unknown quantity. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. As we step into February this year, we cannot afford to be inconsequential. Whether in the church, whether with God, whether in your place of work, whether in your office, whether in your class, in your department, in your room, in your hostel, you must not be anonymous. You need to come out of anonymity. Now let's go further. I'm still coming back. Go to verse 4. Verse 4. For Jacob my servant's sake and Israel my elect, have I even called thee by your name. God keeps on emphasizing it. I have called you by your name and I have surnamed you. I am not just Ayobami Salami, I am Ayobami Salami God. Hallelujah. I have surnamed you. When you are filling a form, the first name, people, your first name, your surname. Your name is not complete without surname. True or false? I have surnamed you. Ha, but look at the supper. Though you have not known me. Ever before you knew God, God has surnamed you. God has prepared to deal with you as a person. God has prepared to welcome you as a special guest. God has prepared to welcome you as a man of honor. He's only waiting for you to come out of anonymity. He's waiting for you to come out of the crowd. He wants you to come closer to him. You know, sometimes when I read a passage in the book of Exodus, I wonder, then what really happened? If you read Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to 3, something each time I read that passage, I'm shocked. Maybe we'll read it quickly. I don't want to divert. I will still come back to where I'm going. But it's important. Exodus chapter 6, verse 2 to 3, quickly. Can you let us see what is there? What God, when God appeared to Moses on Mount Horeb, what God told Moses. And God spoke, that was when God appeared to Moses. And God spoke to Moses and said unto him, I am the Lord. That was no news to Moses. It was just for the sake of emphasis. Because they said, repetition leads to registration. But look at the part that I'm talking about, verse 3. Verse 3, quickly. And I appear, now listen to me. And I have God appeared to Moses and told him, I am God. Now say, and I appear to Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob by the name of God. But by my name Jehovah was I not known to them. I appear to Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but they did not know me as Jehovah. I didn't appear by the name Jehovah. And what that tells me is this, that even if you're already with God, you are a child of God, you need to still go, you need to know God more. God needs to know you more, because there's a continual revelation from God. That all the time of Abraham, Jacob, and Isaac, they never knew God as Jehovah. And God has been Jehovah all along. Do you see the reason why you need to step closer to God? Because the more you get closer to him, the more of him you know, and the more of you he reveals. What I mean by the more of you he reveals, that the more of his counsel for your life, the more of his purpose for life, the more of the things he wants to be, the more he begins to reveal and begin to bring them to pass. But you cannot do that in the crowd. That is why this time around, I am encouraging us, it's time to come out of anonymity. God, go back to our text. I just used that one. I don't want us to divert. Go back to Isaiah chapter 45 that we are reading. No, we are reading verse 2 to 4. Now we are going to verse 5 before I continue. So God wants you to know you as a person. Verse 5. Isaiah chapter 45. Our text. We are reading Isaiah 45 from verses 2 to 5. We have read verses 2 to 4. Now I want you to read verse 5. And I am the Lord. And there's none else. And there's no God beside me. I gathered you, though thou hast not known me. I call you by knowing. I surname you, I'm guiding you, that you are yet to know me. See, we enjoy the grace of God, the blessing of God, the protection of God, and that gives some false impression sometimes that we are okay with God. But God did all these things, and he said, though you have not known me. You come out to share testimony, you tell people, praise the Lord, you tell God is doing this. You tell God is doing that. But I want to challenge you. Does God know you? Do you know him? You know, you might assume because of what he's doing. I might assume because of what I'm enjoying to think that I'm okay with God. To think that I'm okay with God. But this is a time for us to step back and really ask ourselves, does God really know me? How much of him do I know? And how much of myself has he revealed unto me? Many people come to church every Sunday and say, service was wonderful. God is good. But what is the thing that God has done with you, with your life in the course of the service? In what way has he challenged your life? In what way has he put you in a new course? In what way has he refined your life? We are not talking about just saying we are good in the church. The service is good. I want to just show two scenarios. Let's quickly go to the book of Mark. Book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 19, quickly. Book of Luke, chapter 18, verse 19. I want us to read it. Then I want to read it in King James Version. Then go to NIV. Now see what I'm talking about. Luke chapter 18, verse 19. Luke chapter 8, verse 19. And they came to him, his mother and his brethren, and could not come to him for the press. Now go and read it in NIV. And let's see how the NIV put it. And I'll just say a few things about that. Are you there? Okay. Now he says, now Jesus' mother and brothers came to see him, but they were not able to get near him. Why? Jesus' mother and his brothers, James were there with John. His mother himself came, they wanted to see, but they could not get to him. Why? Because of the crowd. So, do you know that you can be in the church and you are lost in the crowd and you are unable to touch Jesus, you are able to feel him. You enjoy the ambience. You enjoy the environment. If Jesus' mother and his brothers could be in the crowd and the crowd prevented them from getting to Jesus. Many of us today, we are being prevented by the crowd from getting to Jesus because we look around what's the fashion. We look around what's the common thing. We look around what everybody is doing and we do what everybody is doing and therefore we are lost in the crowd. We don't get him. He doesn't get us. He doesn't get at us. We don't get at him. But the vibe is there. Jesus' mother and his brother, they desire, they came, wanted to, but because they were in the crowd, the crowd prevented them. Which crowd is preventing you from seeing Jesus today? Is it the crowd of your friend? Is it the crowd of music? Is it the crowd of pornography? Is it the crowd of Yahoo or Yahoo Plus or Yahoo Mega, whatever you call it? Which crowd is preventing you from getting at Jesus? And you just feel that you are okay. I keep on remembering the testimony. I just want to share, to remind us of Grandma Sida. we are be having fresh service, right? And Holy Communion, and people call me every day, every month to have the Holy Communion. But one day, there was one woman in this church, and she's still here today, an elderly woman. She came for the very first time. And before she came, she was having a health challenge. She gave a testimony here. Those who are here know what I'm talking about. If you are not here, listen to me. And she proposed in her heart that this Holy Communion I'm going to take. And the daughter told her, Mama, this is your monthly injection you take. Now tell Jesus, oh, this Holy Communion now replaces the monthly injection. Rather than taking injection, which is very expensive, I think what they say, 20,000 naira for you, I don't know. 20,000 naira every month. 40,000 every month, yes. Say, Mama, this injection that you take 40,000 every month, tell Jesus, this Holy Communion replaces that injection. And this was a woman come here for the first time, and she prayed that prayer in the midst of the crowd. She didn't allow and many people came with so many problems that she was not the one who had a challenge. I believe many other people came with problems. But she chose to stand out of the crowd. Say, I want to replace this. I want to substitute this, the injection with Holy Communion. Simple prayer. And since that time, she never went back to take that injection. And I asked myself, but where are our members who come here day and night, committed, dedicated, and they have challenges? Many of them are lost in the crowd. See, here, Jesus was there. The mother and the brother wanted to see him. But the crowd prevented them. Many of you come to church with the mind of serving God. But when you get here, you get into the crowd of gossiping. You get into the crowd of segregation. You get into the crowd of having caucuses. You get into the crowd of looking at the kind of dresses that other people are wearing. And you miss out on the big picture. If crowd could prevent mother of Jesus and the brother of Jesus from sinning, the crowd can prevent anybody. That is why you need to step out of the crowd. And it's a personal decision. The congregation will not make that decision for you. The pastor cannot make that decision for you, no matter how I shout. It's you have to decide, now is time for me to step out of the crowd, to come out of anonymity. And in the same way, let me say, see, when you are in the crowd, you cannot be discipled. Jesus never discipled the crowd. He only had compassion on them, two of us. And will give them bread. And later when they see it's there, they will go and look for him again. Not because they were looking for bread again. Free FOC. So, Jesus does not disciple the crowd. The crowd cannot be discipled. And the life is very hard inside the crowd. Life is unnoticeable inside the crowd. Until you step out of the crowd. But now, in the same vein, because I'm just taking it right with you, let me just go another. Look at what we say about Jesus and his mother and his brethren. Now jump to verse 45 of that same passage. Of that same chapter, verse 45. We are still looking at Luke chapter 8. Now go.
And there was time when he got to that same passage. Say, who touched me? Just ask. When all deny, Peter said, Master, the people are crowding and pressing against you. How can you say, who pay me? What kind of question is this? Oh God, don't be ridiculous. The crowd. But no, he said, no, virtue came out of me. Inside the crowd, there was somebody who stepped out of the crowd and had a definite purpose and touched him. The crowd went home rejoicing, but this person went back with testimony. You know, you can come to church and go back, dance, jump, and you're happy. You just feel good just to carry on for the next 1 week, but there's no testimony. And that is written with many of us, we find ourselves. Do you propose in your mind that, yes, this, I must touch the hem of his garment. I'm not going to church by 7:30 or 8 o'clock and come by 11 and say, I've gone for today's service. You are just part of the crowd. God watches intention. God watches motive. God wants to know whether you are serious. As I'm talking about that, I'm going to take this message in both the physical, I mean, spiritual dimension and the physical. But I want to start with the spiritual first before I go to the everyday application. I don't know whether you are come to church again and you are just part of the crowd. And you are just, you go and then you come and then you go back and just say, praise the Lord, the last service holder is another wonderful service. We sang, we danced, we listened to the message, and that was it. We are waiting for the next one. Ah, pastor was very good today. The message was very fantastic. And that was the end of it. But are you ready to begin to say, each time I come to the presence of the Lord, I am not coming as part of the crowd? Because God calls you by name as an individual. No, you are a member of Cedar, but before God, you are somebody. You have a unique identity. You might be in a unit. Maybe you are in choir, you are ushering, you are technical. Forget about the group. You have a unique identity. In that place, what is your mark? What is your uniqueness? What is your relevance? What's your value? Is it of base, are you of base value in the church? If you don't come to church, will I know? Will anybody know you are not in church? If you are a member of the church and you miss church service for 2 Sundays and nobody knows you miss the service, there's a problem. It means you are inconsequential, you are irrelevant. In your room, are you just one of the students in the room? Or they nail you for something? In your department, are you just a student there? Just passing through, be a joto kojalori akpata to sinepa. I want to challenge you this day that as we step into the month of February, let us decide anywhere we find ourselves, we must be noted. Your value must not be at the base value. You must be in your office, you must be consequential. There must be something that everybody must look forward to because of you. They must look up to you for something. In your hostel, they must look up to you for something great. You must begin to make a mark. Not just marking the time. In the church, if you are a member of the church and you don't belong to any unit, You are just part of the crowd. Your base value. You don't have any tangible thing you can tie to you that in the house of God, in the presence of God, this world you are responsible God, and God can tell, yes, Ade Ojo is the one in charge of cleaning the chairs in the Cedar General Gospel Church. God knows you by name. He cannot say Teresa Michael is the usher that always stands at the door every Sunday. If he's not there, what's happening? If he's sickness, God said, no, I won't allow Satan to take this guy because I need her there. She's very efficient. When she's not there, something is wrong. Therefore, sickness cannot take her away. I know you by name. I wish I can say a few more things before I go. Please, allow me to take 5 more minutes. We still have some time. Now, when you just go on like this and you have no consequence, then you have no memorial. Nobody remembers for anything. But I want to say quickly 4 things that if you really want to step out of the crowd, because let me tell you, Jesus has a message for general people, for the crowd. When people come to him as individual, he has specific things to tell them. Let me tell you, nobody can stay the crowd and maximize his potential. He cannot enjoy the full benefits of what God has for you when you stay in the crowd. It is when you come out of the crowd and you come to him, I say, Baba, eh? What did they do? Say, eh? So you are here. Now we can start business. There are some messages that Jesus will, if you read your Bible very well, he would have preached and preached and preached, but certain things he won't tell the crowd. But when they come to you, he begin to share with them. Did you read that one in your Bible? Minister, did you read that one in your Bible? But if they are stay with the crowd, how will they get that message? So I want to tell you, even if you are a student, say you have come to Baltimore University, I've come to this department. I will not just go and just pass as just one of the students, one of the number. I told you that this story again and again. When I came to this university, I discovered there's a particular prize in my department. I told myself, my name must be called on the graduation day as the winner of this prize. Right from the time I saw it, I saw at the first convocation after my part one, and I saw the covenant booklet, and I saw the prize. I said, no, I must not get this prize. So that when I leave, my name would be here as one of the prize winners. And I went after this, and by the grace of God, the Lord gave me. You are a student. Don't pass out of your department being consequential. If you are working in a place of work and you pull down your letter of resignation, say, and they just accept like that, there is a big shame. There are many people when they say, but let me tell you, I've experienced it. There have been people in my place, in my university, that sent their letter of resignation and said, Baba, thank you for answering my prayer. Because there are some people I just, out of compassion, I didn't want to take out, so that I won't take bread out of their bread away from them. But when they said they were going, I was jubilated. Thank God for answering my prayer. There are some people, if you in your place or you tend that letter of resignation and they accept it like that, without asking why, without begging you, then you are just part of the crowd. You are a businessman and you go away and your clients cannot say, ah, Mama Tony shopping call. And they just move on to another person like that. Then you have not distinguished yourself. I want to challenge every one of us from now onward, whether you're a student, you are a minister, you are a worker, you are a businessman, you are a lecturer, you must ensure that you stand out. Anywhere you are, and in the church. Four things I want to mention quickly. If you want to stand, one thing I've said that you must decide from now on, what you want to separate yourself from the crowd. Number one, you must start with a determination that yes, enough of being part of the crowd. I don't know what you are going to determine this morning, but I hope and I pray that somebody will make a determination about something that will make you to stand out of the crowd. That it might be about where you are in the church, might be in your service, might be in your office, it might be in your department, it might be in your course. Start with a determination. That determination will give you a push. See yourself as a unique identity. When some students fail a course, they begin to ask how many people fail. But they are not worried that they are failing. But they want to I want to fail a poor. Let's say I know that. That's not a good mentality. Are you part of the crowd? If others are failing, why should you fail? When you have a unique identity, when God has surnamed you, did he surname you crowd? Are they crowd? Is that your name? Come out of anonymity. So have a determination. You see, in the book of Daniel chapter 1 verse 8, the Bible says Daniel proposed in his heart. It's not easy. Let me tell you, it's not easy to come out of the crowd. Go and ask Zacchaeus. How did he do it? Zacchaeus was short. The crowd was much. And he had no chance of seeing Jesus. So anybody who thinks that God will just come and pick me like this, you may wait for long. You have to start with a determination. The woman with the issue of blood that tore the hem of her garment, do you think it was just a joke? That grace of God just came upon her and just put her like it did what's the name of this? Philip. Is it Philip now? Is it Philip? Do you think it was just the anointing of Philip that woman had that just pushed her to Jesus Christ? Sweat, struggle, determination. Sometimes elbow. They give her elbow, she give them back. Sometimes she give her elbow. Sometimes like that, you see the pain, you heard it, she pull forward. Determination. Everybody comes late to church. Say, also, I'm not the only one. We are many. Many people are not serious. I'm not the one that's not serious. Most of the members of church are not serious. So why am I different? Why are they zeroing on me? That's a stupid reasoning. You must determine, and I want to tell you this morning as you are sitting down, determine something that you have not been doing before. This course, they say it is tough, but I'm going to be tougher. This boss is wicked, but he will not subdue me. I'm going to run away from him. The business is hard, but God will prosper me. Economy is terrible, but God will lift me up. You must start with a determination. Secondly, you must decide on a platform of expression. That platform, Do you have some things you want to do? That platform might be a mentor that you need to guide you. That platform sometimes might be the church of God. It might be the elders in the church. It might be senior brothers and sisters in the church. Sometimes that platform might even be YouTube. If you have a music ministry, or you are gifted as a speaker, create a YouTube channel for yourself and begin to build a crowd. You are unique, but the crowd are following you, they are anonymous. That's what happened. Those who are unique, they benefit from the crowd, two of us. That is the reality. You decide to be unique, the crowd will follow you. Anywhere you see uniqueness, you see crowd around, and the unique person will benefit from the crowd. Because that unique person has created a platform. It might even be Instagram. After determination, you also need to think of a platform. That platform might be maybe in the realm of business, might be in the realm of academic, might be in the realm of the spiritual, maybe in the realm of service, might be in the realm of publication, might be in the realm of research. You must identify a credible platform. And number three, you must bring creativity and innovation into whatever you have decided to do. And after that determination, you have thought of the platform, the credible platform, then bring in your creativity. Do common things on common way. Do a common thing, what? No common way. You have to, don't think, I used to tell people say think outside the box. But I've said it, for me, it's not about, see, I believe that if you think inside the box, you belong to the past. You think outside the box, you are just living for the now. But if you want to deal with the future, dear, no, you have to think without the box. Don't just think outside the box. Think without the box. Because you are thinking outside the box, that means you are thinking within outside the dimension. The box has a dimension, am I right? Think without the box. The future belongs to those who can think without the box. Today belongs to those who think outside the box. Bring in creativity. See, when I remember the case of blind Bartimaeus, Bible said that when Jesus was coming, everybody knew that Jesus, he already, number one, he determined his mind that he didn't want to be blind. There were so many blind people. He was among the crowd of the beggars. But he decided he wanted to step out of that crowd. True of us? When you look at the story of that man, he started with determination. He didn't want to part of the crowd. And secondly, he thought of what is the avenue, the platform, Jesus Christ. It was the one that could help him. Then, how would Jesus help a blind man when the blind could not even get to where he was? But when he heard he was passing, see, crying is just the ordinary, it's the common thing. People told him, stop. I think so, can you afford you not to want some belay? Keep quiet. But the Bible says, if you look at it, say, he cried them up. You know, you pass away, aifeleke ibosi olia tin ba mo bosi ke to ba ko igbo pelu innovation and creativity ejosi two of us egba let me ibosi o ibosi ibosi o ibosi efeledo ibosi efilusi ibosi ibosi so sejo abi sejo to ba ke ibosi pelu creativity awon yo josi. Bring creativity and innovation into everything you want to do. Don't do it the normal way and the usual way. And number four, move close to God. God, I keep on saying, and as the Bible says, the horse might be prepared for battle. Victory is of the Lord. When you move close to God and say, God, you call me by my name. This and this and this. You are determined. You have a platform. You are creative. And God is there. What remains is success that will come. This morning, I don't intend to go beyond the introduction, but I'm challenging somebody today that it is time for us to begin to make our mark this year. And the time to start doing that is now. The time to do that is what? From today onward, make every day of your life to count for something great. Stand on your feet. I will continue next Sunday. Baby, it's okay. Baby, today. Family was okay. King God, you are yellow.
Oh, boy, me. Jehovah, your child, family was okay. Mama, Jehovah. Baby, it's okay.
Day onward, I want to come out of the crowd. I don't want to be anonymous again. I want my unique identity to come out. You say you call me by name as an individual, not part of the general people. That from today onward, I want to begin to make a mark. As a student, I want to make a mark. As a businessman or woman, I want to make a mark. As a lecturer or researcher, I want to make a mark. As a wife or husband, I want to make a mark. As a Christian, in Christendom, I want to make a mark. Even in this church, see that generation gospel, I want to make a mark. I don't just want to be part of the congregation alone, but I want to be known by something. Lord, cause me to make a mark anywhere I find myself. Make me to be significant. I don't want to be irrelevant. I don't want to be inconsequential again. I don't want to be of base value again. I don't want to be an unknown quantity in my department as a student or lecturer. I don't want to be an unknown quantity in my hostel, in my room. I don't want to be an unknown quantity in the church or in my unit. I don't want to be an unknown quantity in the society at large. Lord, give me the push. Lord, give me the platform. Lord, give me the grace for creative innovation. the mighty name of Jesus. Now, before I pray the general prayer and round up because of time, remember God said that I have done all this debt, even though you do not know me. For God to bring the best out of you, you need to know him and he needs to know you. And perhaps you are here this morning, you want to give your life to Christ so that he can bring you out. You can just anywhere you are, lift up your right hand. I want to pray for you specially where you are before I pray general prayer, so that you know just mix with the crowd and be lost in the crowd, so that you don't come to church and miss out on God. There's anyone who wants to say, Lord, I'm tired of being part of the crowd. I don't want to even know country in your presence. I want to start a relationship with you. Raise up your right hand anywhere you are, whether the gallery or in the auditorium, and I'm going to pray for you. Well, God bless you. I can see that hand. God bless you. It's something to be proud of. God bless you. I can see that hand. It's something to be proud about. And I want the usher to quickly give them the just slip. It's something to be proud about. I mean, you can imagine what is happening even now that you are doing that. There's jubilation, there's celebration. The angels are dancing. The 24 elders, they are jumping because they are saying, yes, I'm coming to you. If you want to join these people, I'm still waiting for you. I'll give 30 more seconds. I'm going to pray for these ones. So those ones who are taking that journey, just please take the bus and come and meet me here. I'll lay my hands on you. And after that, I'll just pray. Just come here quickly. You are stepping onto your ground. Just come here. You are stepping onto your ground. Yes. God is drawing you to inner circle. God is drawing you closer to yourself. You are no longer part of the crowd. You are unique. You are no longer just ordinary person. This is a new beginning of greatness. This is a new day. A new thing. God is starting a new thing with you. Hallelujah. Manska talaba. Sheheke pansan talaba. Rihinda kiskibi. Rinda kuskaba. Yahanda kuske. Behusa dalaba. Say after me, Lord Jesus, I thank you because you have given me the privilege to come out of the crowd and be identified with you. You have created me and you have surnamed me after yourself. Now I want to walk in the identity you have given to me. I take away the identity of the past. I take on the identity of Jesus. Wash me clean with the blood of Jesus. Forgive me of my sins. Now write my name in the book of life. From today onward, let me begin a new work with you. In the mighty name of Jesus. Father, I pray for these, your people, your sons and daughters, whom you have known before the beginning. You have surnamed them after you. But today, they have taken a vision to identify with their identity that you have given to them. Now today, wash them clean with the blood of Jesus Christ. Write their names in the book of life. Begin a new journey with them. And let it be a journey of honor, a journey of grace, a journey of power, a journey of lifting. The mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Let us bless the Lord for what God is doing for this people. Just follow. Mommy, just follow mommy. Everybody, lift up your hand anywhere you are. Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, I pray for everyone who is here today and those who are joining online. Lord, this year you begin to make a mark. The Lord will sing you out of the crowd. In the mighty name of Jesus, you will not perish in the crowd. You will not perish in the multitude. The Lord will bring you out. You will begin to identify with the identity that God has given you. In the mighty name of Jesus, one of you has a unique identity. From now onward, you begin to work in that purpose. Amen. The Lord will prosper your efforts. Amen. In the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' name, we continue Sunday.